So are you proposing that at least the listeners to the show, the viewers, if they come across a situation where they see the IRS is not abiding by the APA or some any other act or regulation, that
well, there's a lot, Joe. We can get down into the specifics, you know. But first, you know, I have found that you can't get into the specifics until people understand the basics. And what I find is, you know, a lot of people will not sit down and do, you know, if people spend an hour or two a week on these issues, by the time you got to the end of a year, and most people, a year just rolls by. What productive thing did they do in that year? Oh, you know, I watched a lot of TV. You know, if people would devote some time, you know, you can have 50 hours under your belt in 1 year if you just devoted an hour a week to these issues.
We are preaching to the choir, correct?
Yeah, I know. But you know, we need more than the participants we have on this program. This is something that I think is an extremely important issue.
Well, is it fair to try to put a bow on some kind of answer for Peter and the rest, because Peter posed the question? But the first step is to become aware of when the IRS is overstepping its bounds. Whether or not we can get a remedy that we deserve is another matter, but at least educate yourself so that you can learn you get triggered and realize that the IRS is.
Hey, Joe, pull up my website again. I think I've got lists of commissioners, delegations, orders, Treasury Department delegation orders. And I just thought of that. Now back out of that. Go down to taxation. I've got stuff posted on my website, and I remember posting it years ago, and I usually don't go back to look at some of it. But I think somewhere, and it may not be off of this page. It may be a link off of a page that's linked off this page. But I think I've got posted lists of commissioners' delegation orders and Treasury Department delegation orders, and it requires some, you know, sitting down and you know, if you got a particular problem, you know, start. I don't know where it might be.
You think if somebody uses your web or like does a search engine?
I couldn't tell you, but you know, I know that I've had it at one time up there.
What's the case?
No, there isn't any. We've been on that page.
Well, maybe by next week or soon we can try to find that and share it with them.
But it's, you know, it's real important. You know, too many people, what they want to do is they want to be told. And simply being told, you know, isn't a what? There you go. There's one. You know, I had a list, all the delegation with the page with where they were published in the Federal Register. But, you know, what I have found is that over time, you know, particularly since the 1990s, Treasury and IRS have just completely stopped publishing their delegation orders. And well, so it's, you know, if you want to create a problem, you know, you can't, too many people just walk lazy you know, without any plan, they just walk into a problem and they're completely unprepared, you know. But if you know something about what you're doing, if you're trying to educate yourself, then, you know, when you get into when you're being subjected to enforcement actions, you at least have some education to enable you to start doing something. But I've just seen too many people. For the last 20 years, I haven't done anything, you know. I didn't even look at anything. I didn't even go to any meetings. But boy, now I need the whole movement to come rescue me. Well, that doesn't work. You know, but that's a sample of a delegation order.
Absent a 1040.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
That's under section 6020B. What are the types of returns the commissioner can...
Sorry, do you want to keep reading through that? Authorized to sign.
You know, that's a real important issue. But, you know, until people do a little bit of studying on their own and, you know, we've got a lot of good legal issues out there, but people are going to have to learn something about, you know, some of the big broad issues. And once they learn something about the big broad issues, you know, then we can make some progress. But, you know, until people learn something about certain fields of law and, you know, it's kind of difficult to tell them, well, you know, gee, we need to progress beyond this and deal with something important. And there are a lot of areas like that. There are a lot of things that we need to do that are real important. But because people don't know anything about them, there's no interest in doing something they don't know anything about.
All right. Well, everybody should consider themselves tongue-lashed.
Well, I don't mean to have a tongue-lash, but I am trying to enlist the interest of our participants tonight into doing something other than sitting around with their hands and doing nothing. You know, there's a lot that people can do. You know, you can learn something about, in reference to the income tax, they can, you know, it's over on my website on the page dealing with, you know, the taxation page where all the old income tax acts and regs are there. You know, just learning, you know, just spending some time looking at what it looks like. That's very educational. You know, here's the Revenue Act of 1918. Here's the Revenue Act of 1921. And they're all word searchable. You know, when I started out decades ago into this stuff, it wasn't available as a PDF on the internet. You had to go to the law library and sit out and copy it. This is what I did. But, you know, but taking a look at this old stuff is real important. You know, and Joe, you make available that disc that has all these old tax acts and regs on it. You know, people would get that. Then you have then it's on your laptop. It's on your computer. Right there at your fingertips, and you can burn off a copy and send it to the IRS agent, and you can let them know, hey, well, this is what I've been studying. Have you ever looked at this? And I've been in court, and I'll ask, you know, some expert, well, gee, do you know what regs 101 are? And no, never heard of it. Oh, you don't know anything about the regulations for the 1938 Act? Wow. And you're an expert? And you don't know this stuff? And, you know, you're just learning something about the format, the history. And it's not difficult at all. You know, we got the 1916 Act, 1917 Act, amended the 1916 Act. And thereafter, it's all in lieu of Revenue Act 1918, 21, 24, 26, 28. It's all there. And then you have individual regulations. See, pull up Regulation 62. And this is the way those regulations appeared before the Federal Register came out. And then you see down here for 1936. Oh, now that the Bureau of Internal Revenue had in the past published Regulations 86 in a booklet form, and they published Regulation 94 in a booklet form, but you can see where they published them for the first time in the Federal Register. And this will carry you over to that page of the Federal Register. Click on that, Joe, November the 14th, 1936.
This one right here?
No, down here on the Federal Register, the first link.
Right here?
But what I'll be, yeah, you know.
For Fed Reg 616?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. And this goes over to that Library of Congress page. You can see the URL, Library of Congress, up there. That's the Federal Register 0428. 04, maybe. So that's April the 28th, or no, February 10th. So here you pulled up that volume of the Federal Register. And see, now you can go down through here. This is the introductory page of the Federal Register that was, you know, back in those days, they had this kind of a table of contents kind of on the front end right here. And you go down to the second page, and there's a little bit more of the table of contents kind of mixed with, you know, the contents. But then, see, Title 26, you'll go down to page, you know, the page numbers here for the, it won't be on the front end of this volume of the Federal Register, but Go down to page 675, Joe. Down. Now, Peter, is this hard?
I don't have Peter unmuted, but I can see if I can do that.
I can see those behind those glasses. There seems to be a brain that is.
That seems to be. Go ahead, Peter.
The short answer, Larry, is yeah, I'm not an attorney and it is hard. And part of the frustration is even when you read this stuff and you think you have some conclusion, in my case, I'm always wondering, well, if there's something I haven't read that would negate or modify or mitigate what I believe.
Well, one of the problems that we have in the movement is inaccurate information. And, you know, I just see too much and still goes on. You know, 10 years ago, we had Dr. Sam Kennedy and his 1099 OID income tax returns. And he had a spinoff from him. There was this Kelby something or another, Kelby Smith or something like that. You know, he would run on the right radio and he pretended to be a, you know, somebody that worked with Dr. Sam Kennedy. Well, hey, here recently, I learned that he's still out there doing it again. He does these shows over the internet, like much like we're doing. But, you know, all he's done is he's just familiar with the guru arguments. You know, somebody develops an argument, boom, you know, well, I'm going to study that. You know, you can go out and fabricate an argument and make it sound like, man, this is great. And people who don't know anything about research can be buffaloed by somebody that just made it completely up. But, you know, if you know how to do some research, you can see all these people that just make it up. And that's a problem we have here in the movement. You know, so if people would walk away from those types of people and deal with something that's concrete, you know, and I understand your frustrations, Peter. Yeah, but, you know, you come into this when you got a Larkin and Tinkerbell. Tinkerbell starts off with the 861 argument, and all he was doing was promoting. And I know where he got that argument. Then Larkin comes along and looks at what Thurston Bell's doing. And Larkin, you know, did an excellent job. I mean, he went out and he started doing some digging that Thurston Bell didn't do. And he started digging into some of the stuff that, you know, is now on my website. I mean, you know, there you have, there's a big difference between, you know, having substantive arguments and arguments that completely are just made up, like fake Judge Anna and Kelby Smith and people like that. We gotta first start and dig into good solid information, get rid of the trash. And then when people see that, you know, we got good solid information, we need a lot of these things are gonna have to be battled out. But first we're gonna have to educate people about what is a good issue. But we can't understand what, you know, a lot of people can't understand what the good issues are until they learn something about some basic fundamentals. And I'm trying to teach some people about some basic fundamentals. And we discussed a little bit of it tonight. The Administrative Procedures Act is real important. And then, you know, as people become a little bit more conversant with the Administrative Procedures Act, you know, I can make them, you know, I know more about how the Bureau of Internal Revenue and the Internal Revenue Service comply with the APA than I think anybody in America. There's nobody in the Treasury Department that's looked at more than I have. You know, I can show you a whole list. I've cataloged all the delegation orders. Now, I know that history, but you know, until we get down into these specifics that are where the real issues reside, you know, the only way that we can get there is for people to have some knowledge about the basics. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, certainly.
You got a response to that, Peter? Is that an explanation?
Well, yeah, Larry, but you keep, no disrespect intended, but you keep harping on what what all the gurus out there are doing that's wrong, but that doesn't tell us what we should do other than what you said, which is to spend 50 hours a year and read it. But we're still not going to come up to your speed. And in 20 years, I'm not going to come up to your knowledge level. That's
just but Peter, I don't know what we got to, you know. Do people just simply want, hey, just tell me the answer? Well, the answer is, there's a lot of important issues. We're going to have to go to court over, and we're going to have to win. But the only way that I see that you can get support for engaging these battles is if people know a little something about, you know, the basis for it. I've been down that road before, like on the 16th Amendment issue. The 16th Amendment, the non-ratification of the 16th Amendment issue was something that, you know, people could readily understand an issue. It was, and it could be explained in one book. And so that was an issue that was understandable for people, and people could understand what you would need to litigate that. But, you know, we didn't win on the 16th Amendment issue. And, you know, the way I see that we're going to make some battles, and if Gary was not asleep, we can talk about, you know, some of the things that we're doing that are getting some real concrete results. But to me, the only way that we're going to really get some places is if a lot of stuff is going to have to be done in battles in court. But you don't get people to support a battle in court until they have some familiarity with these issues.
It is, Peter, I think everybody shares your frustration. I sure do. I mean, it took me 2 years, of that off-duty research just to realize I was, you know, working for a bad agency. And I was, you know, a CPA and had all this training and everything. So I think it is frustrating, but it is what it is. You know, the IRS, the Treasury, the people that put this in have had over 100 years to create this morass to wade through.
Yeah.
And I get all the best we have, which I think is a great start, is that Larry has sifted through, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of pages, millions of pages of this stuff, and made it a lot more organized and historic, you know, where you can actually go back to the very beginning and follow it through. And so as far as utility, that's still a big nut to crack. And we're just trying to share the information, and I realize the frustration level we're probably not going to be able to finish.
Larry knows that I'm immensely grateful to him and to you, Joe, for your incredible sacrifice, what you went through 20 plus years ago, or about 20 years ago, I guess now. And but those of us that are not knowledgeable like the rest of you could put in 50 hours a year and so forth, but we need some direction and guidance, because we're not going to just read on our own and come up with a justifiable argument to go into court with. We need some direction and some limits on what, I mean, we all have our lives and our jobs to do.
On the Administrative Procedures Act issue, I've got a ton of information on my website. You know, I'd like for people to just study what's on the screen. Well, that's not APA stuff, but is it? No.
Well, Larry, is it is it the elephant in the room? I mean, there is some. Yeah, you can't just be giving people the here's the roadmap, and you know, because then we can't talk as freely as we're trying to talk. I mean, we have to kind of give people information and let them follow it. And then we have dialogue. And if they run into a situation with the IRS and they run it past you or Gary or myself, and then it's like, you know, maybe we could make something out of this and actually, you know, litigate it. But of course that's expensive. None of us are made of money. But anyway, like I say, I guess at least in terms of recognizing that there is an APA, that there is this information, that the IRS has these limitations that they don't pay attention to, and that if we can recognize a particular juncture where they've overstepped their bounds and can make some hay out of it in court, but that remains to be seen. You know, that case that comes along, that's a really good one, like Larry mentioned, the Muncie case that Dave Wallington worked on. But then, you know, the tax court ended up poo-pooing it. And I forget what circuit that was, Larry.
Eighth
circuit.
Yeah.
So, you know, even when we try, we got judges that aren't interested in the truth. So a lot of these issues are things that we don't, you know, that's why I start every show with a prayer, because we need God's intervention, you know, to help us help David battle Goliath. Anyway, we've been on for about an hour and 20 minutes. If I go too long, I can't really archive it, or it's more difficult to edit and get it up on the internet for others to view. So if you'll forgive us, we'll maybe bow out for the evening. As Larry said, he wasn't able to get into the PRA. Was it, Larry, you were going to try to get into? So
yeah.
Try to do that in a future show. Gary actually had some issues, too, that he wanted to discuss. So we hope you'll join us next week. If you'll forgive me for just...
Invite your friends.
Yeah, invite your friends. But just to remind you, Sean, who couldn't join us tonight, he's at seanoconnor.org. Gary, our co-host, Gary Thomason, he can be reached directly via email at Gary, G-A-R-Y, at NPN, that's Nancy Paul Nancy, npn.net. And my website is agentfortruth.com. I guess I could also show you that, for example, at agentfortruth.com, what I tried to do is have the section called What's This All About? And this is kind of my digestion of the stuff that I've encountered, some of which is featured on Larry's website. But really, all we can do is try to lay this out as clearly and concisely as possible. These tens of millions of pages and 100 years or more, and just hope that we can bring you somewhat up to speed, and that's kind of the best we can do for you. And thank you for joining us tonight. We had a really good large.
Good night. Come back next week, folks.
Yeah, please do. All right. So I'm done talking. We'll see y'all next week. Thank you so much. Take care.